Fat Guys, DGS on KMOX. Couple minutes past 2 p.m. So we've been doing Priest and the Rabbi. I've been on the air 26 years, and I think we've been doing it 24 or 25 of those. And we have Monsignor Ted from ICD. We have Rabbi Shmuel from Aisha Torah. You guys have been together a long time now.
Yeah. We have been.
I lose track. How long has it been?
I lose track, too.
Yeah, it's been a good long time. A good run.
I've been on, I think, over 20 years.
Yeah, you've been on 20 years, yeah, for sure.
I was with Father Jeff, and
yeah.
You can have something and walk away from it and leave it. God, so to speak, can't do that. The closest analogy.
He's never static.
And he's making it. He's creating it presently. Yeah. It's not like it exists on its own. It's something which, in Jewish philosophy, he's constantly creating the universe. The best example I've been able to come up with this is like, you know, I'm sure you've had like a person who's in your dream before who doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Right? And how long does that person live for until you wake up? And so that's kind of God's relationship, so to speak, to this world is, I don't want to say it's a dream exactly, but God's making this world. Now, I don't see anything that I know of that says that this has to be the only world. I think if there are worlds out there that we're not going to ever come in contact with, it makes no difference to us. I don't want to, dabble in science. I mean, I do study science some, but the closest star to planet Earth is 4 light years away. That's the closest star. That's 186,000 miles a second, a whole year for those. I mean, I'm very dubious as to the ability to get here from somewhere
else. As are a lot of astronomers.
And to live through it. So, I mean, according to Albert Einstein, again, I don't want to go too far on my science, but you can't go the speed of light or even very close to it because it would take an infinite amount of energy. And so the amount of time that it would take to get here, and I guess you could be having children. I don't know how long these things live. Again, of course, we're talking about things we don't know about, but I'm just very dubious as to the actual ability for any kind of life to have developed and then visit us here.
So interestingly, the government again, MAGA, Pete Hegseth, people like that, have been saying very openly that they think UFOs are demons. And then it's my understanding that a priest in D.C. was fired. I don't know if he's defrocked, but he was taken out of his job by the Pope or by the Cardinal of D.C. because he's an exorcist, and he was linking UFOs with demons. And the Cardinal of D.C. said, nope, we're not going to do that. Why don't you go take a break?
That's kooky.
But that was interesting that people in the Catholic Church and people in our government were trying to make that argument.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not up on that story. I don't know what that, but I will say is there are priests who are designated exorcists, but a priest in our tradition is not allowed to declare himself to be an exorcist. We believe that it's part of a role that's given to a person. So if a person is claiming things, they're doing it on their own and not on the authority of the church. So it's not like the Catholic Church is behind it. It would be in the rest of society, we'd call that a rogue. And so there's plenty. I mean, all of us priests, we're all pretty human, and some decide to stay within the boundaries of what we're approved to do, and some go out on their own. And if they do, it's analogous to it. We don't use the word defrocked, but yes, we call that the ability to speak in the name of the church. We call that you're given faculties. His faculties to speak in the name of the church would have been removed because by definition, he spoke beyond his level of competence.
So I know we're starting out with like paranormal kind of stuff, which is really, I think it's fascinating. So do the people on the stream. but I'll ask both of you, I mean, Monsignor, you've been doing this for a long time.
Yep.
Have you ever ran across anything that spooked you, that you thought, this is outside the norm?
Well, in the sense of not so much my personal life, but yes, in interaction with parishioners, it's not unusual at all. We certainly, there's evidence of a spirit world, if that's in, I don't even know where the boundary line comes for paranormal. We do advise our people to not dabble in any of that world because we believe that it's very real. And once the dabbling takes over people, I mean, we're We believe of entities. We believe that the devil was a creature, a fallen angel, and is out to get us to be more like him and to live for ourselves rather than for others. So we believe in that world. So, yes, I mean, it's not unusual that people will call us and ask us to come and pray in their house. And, again, our belief is that it seems to have a lot of validity is the devil can't stand it when we speak the name Jesus. And we also, if we go to a home and sprinkle the home with holy water, do we believe there's any magical powers in that holy water? No. But we believe that sprinkling that around represents the power of God. For people, it becomes powerful. Now, whether people say that the effect is psychosomatic or they just imagined it in the first place, I don't have evidence for that. I do have evidence that often enough when a priest enters to the picture and there's some evidence about sounds in the house, things moving in the house, when we go in, and that's part of our, supposed to be part of our humility as a priest, we say nothing that we do is our own power. It's the power of God acting through us. The way St. Paul put it was, I have nothing to boast about except the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I mean, even for a person who's a believer but not a Christian, it would normally be the same thing. They're a representative. They're calling down God's power into the situation.
Shmuel, let me ask Ted one more question, then I'm going to turn it over to you. You may not be able to talk about this, but the exorcism that took place in St. Louis, the famous one that the movie's based on, which I know a lot about because I did a show there and I've been on lots of shows about it. Is that something that you grew up in St. Louis as a young man or as a priest knowing about? Did they say, like, you don't want anything to do with that, nothing to see here? Did they teach based on it, anything like that?
Well, we were taught that they're real. We also were taught that not just anybody can do that on their own. They need to be appointed. They need to be named by their local bishop to have that power. So I would say for me, I knew about it, but it wasn't even a great source of fascination, especially if you mention it. There's so many biblical stories in both the Jewish scriptures and in the New Testament about God's power driving out demons. And so it didn't seem strange to us at all. We were taught not to do Ouija boards, not to do horoscope, not to dabble in anything that had to do with the darker world. And actually, I would say, now that you bring that up, over the years in my teaching, especially at the high school level, the children at that age, young children becoming young adults, they're very curious about the spiritual world. And there's a lot of like the 19th century literature that was written, oftentimes was written about people that were transitioning. Today we call them tweens, transitioning from childhood to young adulthood with hormonally. And when they do, they seem especially susceptible to the confusion of that time of life to interventions from the spirit world. And I mean, I think even like some of the witch trials and stuff goes back to that. So, and so, yes, we grew up thinking this was, these things happened. It was not unusual to hear about them. But forever, we are taught that it's the power of God is stronger than any evil force there is. So we might as well stick with the real, true, and loving and all-powerful God.
Rabbi, I just wanted to go back on one thing you said, because, you know, you talked about how senators and so forth have said these things, and then you said that Pete Hegseth said that these are demons. Well, I don't think he knows that. And so, again, going back to what people say and their trustworthiness in saying it, you know, I would question that. I'd have to hear what these people, because I don't think any of us would agree that Pete Hegseth actually knows that these are demons. And so I think people are in these areas are often prone to say things that aren't necessarily the facts. But I just say this, in Judaism, there's certainly, I've experienced in my life things which I would call somewhat miraculous. They don't necessarily break the laws of nature, but, you know, they've praying for something and having it immediately come true. you know, I don't know what you call paranormal also. I mean, look, in the Bible, it tells us things that are going to happen. It tells us that the Jewish people are going to be dispersed all over the world. And then they're going to be experience terrible anti-Semitism while they're outside of the land of Israel. And then they're going to return to Israel, which is something which I think any of us would say that's a ridiculous thing to have put in there up front. So I'd say there's a lot of things which, depending on whether you called it a miracle or something that's paranormal or something that can't really be explained that easily, how that could have happened normally. But I don't think, although as Father Ted said, I mean, there are clearly things in the Bible which are paranormal, but I've never experienced things that I would call to that level of where it, you know, breaks the laws of nature, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Back with more of the Priest and Rabbi after this. If you guys are on line, Facebook or YouTube, and you have a question or a comment for the guys, put it down there. We'll try to get it in. It's always great playing Love Hurts by Nazareth when you're with the Monsignor and the Rabbi. So, so we're just, Father Ted was talking about how people can get distracted by some of the more, you know, paranormal and some of the more sexy kind of things like that. And on the break, Rabbi was talking about that in Judaism, of course, you know, Christians believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and Jews believe the Messiah has not yet shown himself. And it's just the way it is. We're all grown ups here. But that some Jews can get so fixated on, it's this guy, I got him, that they kind of miss the forest for the trees.
It's either this guy or when's he going to come, predictions of when he's going to come. And I had a person that used to come and study with me who said to me, Rabbi, you don't speak about the Messiah a lot. And I said, you're right, I don't. And one of the reasons is because I think, although, look, we absolutely, it is a belief that the Messiah will come, the world, believe this or not, will come to world peace, and there will be a different world. However, it often becomes a distraction for people instead of doing a similar thing. Instead of doing the real work that they need to do in our lives, we can get focused on this. And you feel like you're in deep waters, you know, and you're really not, you're in deep something else. You're not, it's not good.
So what is the basic teaching about looking or not looking and getting, you know?
Well, the Maimonides, many of the rabbis said, is that you should not try to estimate when the Messiah is going to come and that kind of thing. I think, look, it's good to know what it is. It's good to know the concepts and that it will come and that it's something that we long for. The reason why we long for the Messiah is because we live in insanity. We don't realize it. We're all living afraid. You have a firewall. I'm always hearing these commercials, like they had a show on KMOX this morning about identity theft. Why would anyone do that to another person? Because they're crazy. Why are people murdering? And so imagine living in a world where, like, you know, locking your door is insane. That's an insanity that you have to lock your door. Why do I have to lock my door? It's crazy. We're just used to it. Oh, of course you have to lock your door. Security system, bats at the door. You know, so the point being is we want the Messiah. We're waiting for it. We should wait for it because we all want the closeness to God for the whole world. We want the world, everybody, all humanity to be back close to God and close to each other again. Yeah. But not any kind of magical, spooky.
I've never understood. Obviously, I'm going to tell you about what we think of the Messiah with the Monsignor sitting here. Right. But basically, Christians believe that Jesus was the Son of God.
Right.
You know, the Trinity.
Right.
The Jewish Messiah, do you expect it to be someone supernatural?
No.
It's just going to be an anointed.
There is discussion about that, but the consensus is that it's a leader. You know, Moses was a Messiah. The word Messiah means anointed. And the king of Israel was anointed. King David was anointed. So when they talk about Mashiach, it means the return of that level of leadership and going back to a world that's united with as one. Jewish people, non-Jewish people, everybody together. And it would be a completely different world. It's hard for, you know, I don't know if you've ever had this experience where, like, something lifts off you, where, like, you know, you just feel like maybe you're afraid you're sick and the doctor tells you you're fine and you just feel this, like, right? Well, when the Messiah comes, we will feel this unbelievable, like, because we'll feel all the craziness that we've come to accept and we live with it without realizing it. You know, David, you're my age.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have ongoing little aches and pains?
Sometime? Sure.
So, you know, like, I had hernia surgery, and they gave me, you know what happened when I woke up for the hernia surgery? I felt no pain. like even that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you can just leave me here. Like, go home, turn the lights off. But we're just used to it. You're carrying it and you don't realize it. And so what I'm saying is that we'll come to a point where that we, all this insanity, which we've accepted, but it's not something supernatural. It's something that will lead back to where things are supposed to be.
Okay, more with the priest and the rabbi after this. If you want to get in on this, go to Facebook or YouTube. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 233. Janelle's going to be here at the top of the hour. We will talk some movies and entertainment. Matt Pauly's going to join us at 4 p.m. We'll talk some Cardinals and sports. Right now we have Monsignor Ted and Rabbi Shmuel, the priest and the rabbi. And Monsignor, you wanted to take what Shmuel was talking about yeah. the Messiah and move yes. it around a little bit.
I think, yes, the you know, what Rabbi was expressing in terms of their expectations about a Messiah, in some ways, to me, doesn't sound too different from what the Christians' explanation of the second coming. We just believe that it's Jesus coming back, and that's going to be it. That's going to be
bringing
everything together, but kind of tying that into what we were talking about the paranormal possibly just being like a distraction. In either case, whether we're talking about the Messiah coming in the Jewish tradition or the Christian understanding of the second coming, in either case, there's a similar message, and that is when the Messiah comes, it'd be good to have your house in order. And so that would be so that's a common theme for all of us in terms of just the way that we're living our own lives. And at least I believe a lot of it, the craziness in the world today, like when I said before about the congressman, you're giving credibility because two congressmen speak. Well, depending upon, I have friends who are elected officials. I have great respect for them. It's not a matter of that, but it's a matter depending upon which news channel you listen to, you're not going to believe much that the people on the other side say. But I believe the common thread that pulls it all together, the craziness of society and pulling our own lives together, is many people lack any purpose for living other than immediate gratification. Not necessarily more stuff, but one more thrill after another, one more pleasure after another, one more creature comfort after another, one more cruise, one more vacation. And so if that's where life is, and if parents are raising children only so they can be good at making money, I'm nothing against people making a lot of money. I wish I had more people supporting the causes I'm interested in that had more, but and were willing to give it. But it's what are people being raised for? And we believe that the purpose in the Judeo-Christian tradition, the purpose is that you're living your life to give praise to God. And yeah. and you the only way you do that is by making an empty space inside yourself for him to fill up. And it gives you your purpose then is to use your God-given gifts for the good of others around you. And absent that clear purpose, society tends to be very divided the way that it is now about political realities and not focusing on the meaning of life.
I just wanted to add to that. I think Father Ted would probably agree with me, but that although that's true and that we do want to, you know, look at the more deeper things in life and make a space in ourselves, but one of the things Judaism teaches us is God wants us to get the most pleasure out of this life, the most pleasure. But the greatest pleasures are deep and they take effort. There's physical pleasure is a good thing. And it's, you know, you have in Judaism the Sabbath or you have a holiday and it's good to eat well and enjoy physical pleasure. But then it's love is a deeper pleasure than physical pleasure. And that's why you'll have children, even though you're going to have to give up a lot of money because love. So love is it's more important to have love and as much as you can have of that. But every pleasure has a counterfeit, like lust is a counterfeit of love, and that'll lead you out into the hills,
yeah.
right? Then there's meaning. So meaning is a deeper pleasure. That's why a person will get married and then maybe even go off to war, right? Because being meaningful is more pleasurable even, right? Have meaning in our lives. And so, and then power, I'm using power in a positive sense, right? Power meaning using my faculties to do good in the world. I build a hospital, right? Now, the opposite of that is control, right? A real leader, everybody rises, right? A person who's using control, everyone else goes down. But so what I'm trying to say is it's true that you know, going on another cruise or whatever it might be is but it's not that, that God is asking us to suffer for the God is asking us to use our faculties to leverage the abilities that He gave us.
Yeah.
In order to live the most powerful, meaningful, enjoyable, thrilling life.
Along that line, one of the things I find most fascinating about my fellow humans is, and I would never pretend to know the scriptures like you two gentlemen do, but I know them a bit, probably more than the average bear, given my past. And I'm a nut about science and philosophy. And whether it's the Torah or it's the New Testament or it's Confucius or it's Sun Tzu, we've always said the same thing. We've been saying this for thousands of years, but what fascinates me is very few of us are born and become of a certain age where we can understand things, and you go, hey, look, there have been 1,000 generations who did the same thing as you, and they all came up with a very similar answer about what matters and what doesn't, but almost to a person where we're like, I got this, Ace. I think I figured it out pretty well. I'm 15 years old. But we just keep making the same mistakes and not learning or learning the lessons. Like, you know, I was very religious at one point, as you guys know, and right. haven't been for decades. But man, have I learned. And I missed my religion because it gave me great comfort. And the things I've gone through, I've pretty much gone through without that comfort. But I have also learned those things.
Right. You know, one of the things is that you mature. I mean, all of us go through the teenage years, and I know I was a horrible teenager, and your mind went somewhere.
Man, would I love to meet that guy.
I don't know. I'll let my brother tell you about him. But I was a horrible teenager. You know, I don't know if I should. I was a horrible student, and it wasn't only until much later. But I'm saying God puts us through all these periods of life. And we're meant to go through them. And you know, I knew a rabbi that told me like he wished they didn't teach about Noah's Ark to little kids, because it's about like giraffes and lions and it loses all its meaning. It's just a silly little story but then you study these things when you get older for the message that's put into it, and it's deeper and deeper and deeper, and we're meant to go through that. And most of us, I can say for myself, I'm sure everyone in this room can say, we've all made a billion errors in life. I've made so many like errors, like so many ridiculous things. I look back now, I'm just like,
yeah.
But we're meant to do that. We're meant to go through that. And that beginning part that you went through was immature.
Yeah.
You know, you grabbed onto something.
Yeah.
But now you're a deeper person. And I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to judge your religiosity. Maybe on some level you have a deeper religiosity that's part of you, and part of you denies that or whatever it might be, but it's more mature and it's more thought out, and it's more trying, instead of just grabbing onto some ideology, yeah. But what's it all really about?
Yeah, I know that when I was a Christian and playing in a Christian rock band, and this will shock you, but it was quite performative. You know, I wasn't putting on an act, I wasn't lying, but I was still me. I was a showman. And my prayers back then, as I remember them, were very different than my prayers now. And I say prayers every single night. My prayers now are very honest and very like, if I were talking to you, like, dude, I got some problems. And if you have any power here, I would like some help. Let me bring Kevin and Rachel. Rachel, I know you have a question.
Yeah, just kind of touching on what you're both speaking of earlier, as far as sometimes humans' focus is just so out of whack, and we tend to focus on like temporary pleasures and just the next good thing that's going to happen instead of deeper issues. I saw Pope Leo had posted on Twitter last week, kind of expressing these same concerns when it comes to young people and the environment we live in now. He was kind of making the point that it seems like now more than ever, young people are being sold this idea that they must perform and they have to present in a certain way. And it really is all about appearances rather than what is inside. I'm just wondering, where do you each come down on that? You know, working with young people, is that something you notice, like maybe a different kind of pressure now than we've faced in the past?
Social media FOMO. So yes, it's a different kind of a pressure, and it's one they've chosen to get involved in, and it's one that their parents permit. The parents say, it's so hard to take this away from my child. Well, I say, who's in charge of the house? And so yes, do I think
And I would say Phoebe.
We'll have you know, like Dave said, I mean, these issues in a certain sense aren't new, but they're more immediate and more powerful because of the power of the internet itself. The flip side of that I would see is I would say that because there's so many distractions out there, the young people out there who do get it in the sense that they're living purposeful lives, it takes more to rise above that. In fact, we're finding now in our Catholic Church, we had 44 new people join this Easter who previously had no connection to our church in the sense of being converts. We're finding people coming up to us saying, you know, what you guys teach just makes sense, because they're finding a senseless world out there and they're looking for a sense of order. They're looking for a sense of purpose. So, yes, so that people who are choosing that purposeful life have to make a more conscious choice because there's so many forces pulling them in the other direction. Mm.
Going to do one more segment with the priest and the rabbi after this. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 249. Janelle's going to be here at the top of the hour, and we will talk about entertainment stuff. Matt Pauly will join us at 4. We'll talk about baseball stuff. Monsignor Ted is with us, and Rabbi Shmuel from Eish HaTorah. Who wants it? Kev, you haven't said much at all.
I'm just listening and learning. This has been fascinating.
It has been really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
I could start an argument if you want.
I'd love it.
No,
you're always trying to. Bait us. No, I would like one comment on what the Christian tradition would be slightly different the way the rabbi worded it with regard to pleasure. I don't believe it would be anywhere. I don't know that Jesus ever said that one of our main roles is to have as much pleasure as possible. And to nuance that just a little bit, we do believe in our tradition all creation is good, and God did put creation here for us to enjoy and to do some good with. We believe that earthly pleasure is a good thing. It's just it's a nuance, not to make that into the ultimate value.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we believe that pleasure is good, but just not the end. In fact, if anything, that is our belief. The ultimate example for us is in the goodness of creation, in our tradition, of course, is the birth of Jesus Christ himself, the ultimate example that good comes through people.
So,
and then we also do see a good in suffering. Again, not necessarily as an end in itself. In fact, it reminds me of a book I read in college, in psychology class, by a Jewish writer, Viktor Frankl, and that it was about meaning in suffering because, of course, there's been other books written, people coming out of the concentration camps, they found meaning in that suffering. And so, a recently canonized Catholic priest, Maximilian Kolbe, same thing, kept the spirits of the people alive in the concentration camp through his devotion to prayer.
Let me ask you guys this. I know it's difficult, but thought experiment. For whatever reason, whatever vehicle, whatever mechanism, there's no longer a God on the table. It's just life. You're born and you die. From what you have observed about life, especially in your positions with people taking you into their confidence, without a God, without an afterlife, would you look at life and go, take it or leave it? There's about as much suffering as there is fun. Or would you say, nope, I'll do this. This is good. I like it.
I first of all, you know, we don't realize this. We're hardwired to experience pleasure. Hardwired. In other words, when you look at the ability to enjoy this world versus the opposite, it's way more leaning towards, I hope I'm answering your question, but it's way more towards enjoyment. God put 5 little bumps on your tongue to make food it taste delicious. The horse eats hay every day, right? We have all sorts of cuisine, and that's why is that? If it weren't for those 5 bumps on your tongue, there'd be no restaurants. They just serve hay, right? But the point is God hardwired you. Now, let's say your ears. You know, I always ask people, what do symphony orchestras make? What do they make?
Nothing.
Vibrations. God gave you an ear and a brain, which turns that into incredible music, right? That's a gift. You are hardwired to enjoy that. You take a little kid and put music on, they start swaying. Hardwired to do it. You've also been given an intellect. Like, you know, let's say baseball. You can enjoy thinking about working it out. And God's given us. So what I would say to you is that we, and I could go on with everything that we have to do in this world is pleasurable. Now, I do agree with the Father that, you know, and I think suffering goes into any kind of real achievement. When you're trying to really achieve something, suffering is part of that. But I'm just saying is I think that if you look at this world, we let ourselves get taken down by it. We let ourselves get pulled. You know, right now I see so many American people, and I'm sure that you experience this also, that are suffering and are sad. My wife's a therapist, and all these people are coming in. And she told me yesterday that everyone's listening to the news and they're miserable. And I told her, tell them to turn it off. But why are you miserable? You know, there's so much. Okay, there are bad things happening. There always has been, and until some future day, there will be. But I would say, go out and enjoy it. You know, focus on all the good. Enjoy, savor it. You know, the music, the taste, the thinking, the building, the involvement with people are yummy. You know, you just meet people, and they're just incredible. Every one of them's in their own world.
You are a very happy Jew, my friend.
I call myself, what I like to say is, I'm gruntled. I'm gruntled.
Yeah, you really are.
I'm gruntled.
Yeah.
You really are. Which sounds like a bad thing, but we know it's not.
Well, if you can be disgruntled,
right, that's exactly
it must
right.
be you can mean gruntled.
Yeah.
So I choose to be gruntled.
Yeah.
But that's a choice. Like, how are you going to look at it? You know, look at your life and look at all the blessing that's in it. Look at the miracles that go into making your body working all the time. And think of your family and just all the people you love. And so you're going to really, like, get down all the time about this stuff? I think we really, as a people, have to turn around. I hear people complaining about America. I've talked about this before. We're coming on 250 years of America. This is such a great place. You're free to do whatever you want. People don't realize in the annals of mankind, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, people didn't have this. And now you were born in the time where you get up in the morning and decide what you want to do with your day.
More people are trying to get in than get out.
That's right. You know, I don't want to bash on anybody, but there was a politician who talked about the warmth of collectivism and the coldness. Well, everyone's trying to get into the coldness, right? The warmth doesn't seem to be. We have it. You can make out yourself into anything you want, or you can open a business. You can. So I'm just trying to say is, we in America, like this 250 years right now, we should be celebrating big time. This is something we should just be through. I got to grow. You know, people sometimes say, I'm a proud American. I'm not a proud American. I'm a blessed American. I feel like I'm blessed to have been born here and brought up here and live here. And I think that we should all feel that way. And I don't care what party you're in. I don't care if you're satisfied with the present condition of this country. You know, you can be against in other countries, you couldn't be against the government.
Yeah.
Here you can.
All right, we're going to end it there. If you want more Monsignor Ted, you can find him at ICD. He works every Sunday. You have
every day.
I work every Saturday.
I'll be there at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Don't look for Shmuel on Sunday. tell you guys about my...